When I look back on my aviation career and the handful of FAA certificates and ratings I've picked up, I still think my instrument rating was the toughest test I ever took. But I also think that earning my flight instructor rating was the certificate I was most proud of. It was hard too, but I learned more about flying airplanes than any other rating I can think of. While the number of CFIs in the United States has actually risen over the last 10 years, up about 12% according to FAA figures, of course the number of pilots has decreased, down about 2.5% again over the last decade. So why would anybody want to be a flight instructor when there are even fewer students to teach? That's the kind of discussion I had with Dave Pavone a few weeks ago. He's a longtime Airplane Geeks listener, and we talked about his two newest ratings, his flight instructor rating airplane, and then very shortly after that, his instrument instructor airplane. All total, I think Dave's been an instructor now for about 5 months. Of course, not everyone's cut out to teach other people to fly, or to teach anybody anything, to be honest. All too many CFIs just want to fly and see teaching as nothing more than a means to an end, a way to build time so they can get that regional airline or corporate job. The problem with that is that instructors who would rather be somewhere else while they're flying with a student are not only doing a huge disservice to the student, we also call them customers, but they're also shooting our industry in the foot by turning off a perfectly good student with their indifference. Dave Pavone flies from American Flyers at Morristown. When we chatted recently, I have to admit I was really impressed with his energy, and I hope that comes across in this recording, but also in his dedication to teaching people to fly. I asked what he thought about this new job he'd taken on the past few months at Morristown. I was also curious about what made him want to spend the time and energy to earn an instructor's rating. Actually, two of them.
It's one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever had, for sure. There's natural students out there who pick it up the first time, and then there's other students where you really have to attack them from different angles to drive your point home or to make them realize. My favorite part of the job is teaching the ground lessons. When you get in the air, you watch the light bulbs go off, you know, and you watch it all just come together. And that's the most rewarding part of my job. This isn't easy to do. And if you can teach someone to take a 2,000-pound airplane up on their own and take their family from one area to another area while avoiding weather and go get a hamburger and fly all the way back and have a nice, safe, enjoyable day, I think you've taught someone very good aeronautical decision-making skills. But if you think about life in general, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, no one ever learned anything on their own. We all learned how to tie our shoes from someone else or how to ride a bike from someone else. And, you know, we all learned how to fly airplanes from someone else.
I asked Dave if there was anything else about being an instructor that he really liked.
Yeah, actually a lot. First, I think it's the amount of respect that you get as a flight instructor. A lot of my friends who fly airplanes or they fly corporate or even in the regionals, they don't have their flight instructor certificate. And everyone had told me that this is the hardest rating that you could get as a pilot. And I did not really – I thought, you know, they were just messing with me. But, I mean, I did a 30-day CFI Academy, and I worked really hard for those 30 days, and I worked really hard to pass this check ride. And you're like dragging your knuckles by the end of this certificate. The amount of respect that you get, even from your elders and the young people.
If we all know that some instructors are better than others, I wondered, is there any common link between them?
I've had my fair share of bad flight instructors, and I've had my fair share of really, really good flight instructors. And if you think about it, we are a product of our good and bad flight instructors. I encourage all of my students and anyone else that I run into outside of the flight school, definitely go fly with different people.
Men and women who don't teach other people to fly might not understand some of the basic challenges of becoming an instructor. I asked Dave if there was one that maybe stuck out a bit more than others in his first few weeks of instructing.
Flying from the right seat took a little bit of time, and everyone, they let me fly with some of the flight instructor candidates that are coming out of the academy right now, and I just laugh every single time because you can tell they sideload the airplane because it looks different from the right seat than it does from the left. And the angles, getting used to that angle, looking at the instruments, even for double eye, just getting used to that stuff. Sometimes their headings are a little off, or they list one way or the other way because they're not used to sitting in the right seat. I remember I used to sideload the airplane a lot. I've learned more in the past 3 months than I have in the past 3 years about what the airplane can do because we already know how to fly the airplane, clearly. I mean, we became commercial pilots. If you are a commercial pilot, you know how to fly the airplane. Now you have to show that you can fly the airplane, you know, within coordination and be safe about it. But as a flight instructor, you have to know a lot of stuff. And I had to study all that stuff. People come up and ask me questions. And the students keep you on the tip of your toes, because they'll literally spin a book around and say, what is this? And then you're just like, I am really not sure, but I know where to find it. And when you go look it up, you now have that information for the next time. Your students will teach you more than you can get your hands on out there. I've been able to save the airplane in weird configurations on landing that I didn't even know that I can do until after it was done. And the student said, what did I do? And I said, I'm not sure, but I got you out of it.
One of the real tricks to becoming a really great teacher is knowing when to hold on to the controls and when to let the student learn for themselves. Dave told me that hasn't changed a whole lot since I got my rating 30 years ago.
Because if your hands are on the controls for, you know, 20% of the flight, they're going to be looking at you like, am I really doing something wrong here? And my favorite part about my job is allowing them to safely make mistakes, because if they don't see the mistake, they'll never know how to correct it in a hard landing or how high that you can let them actually flare, where the airplane could safely have a hard landing, where they can actually learn something. Because if your hands are on the controls for, you know, 20% of the flight, they're going to be looking at you like, am I really doing something wrong here? And my favorite part about my job is allowing them to safely make mistakes, because if they don't see the mistake, they'll never know how to correct it. If I get them, I had a really good flight instructor while I was doing the tailwheel, John Tremper. He said, if I don't let you go in the red, you'll never know what the red looks like. So I don't let you go so far into the red where we both can't save it, but I let you go far enough to where, you know, you can fight your way out of it. And if I need to step in, I'll step in. And that's the same attitude that I take with my students. I usually just sit there with my hands on my lap and I'll let them land flat. You know, if it's not going to hurt the airplane, I'll let them land flat. If they're going to, you know, slam down on the mains, as long as it doesn't hurt the airplane or us or put us in any kind of danger, let them land hard on the mains. They're not going to learn. So if you're in the airplane and the mistake happens and you're able to explain the mistake to them as to why it happened, then they know what to do to correct it the next time. So that the first time that, you know, they have a hard bounce and decide to let the airplane bounce again, they at least know the precautions or the steps to take to get out of it. I mean, I'm there to build my time, but at the same time, I'm not there to build my time. It's the next stepping stone in the journey of aviation that I'm taking. And it's not a career. It's a journey. And many people have shared their airplanes and their stories and their time with me and their advice. It's a journey. It's truly a journey. It's not a career in any way.
Now that he's been a flight instructor for 5 months, Dave shared another one of the cardinal rules of survival in teaching people to fly.
My biggest advice for any flight instructor, which they probably already are, is literally be 10, 20 steps ahead of the airplane. Know what's coming up next. Have a game plan and don't get caught, you know, like a deer in the headlights. You know, don't get caught going into Class Delta airspace, you know, because you forgot to make the call, or remind your student to make the call 10 miles out.
Despite the rewards of watching somebody sail off into the sky, knowing they're only up there because of you, Dave Pavone does have a few ideas about his future.
Well, short-term goal for the next 2 months is getting my students to actually use the checklist. And the long-term goal for me is to hopefully fly corporate, really erring on the side of corporate. I mean, I'll take regionals, but I have a friend who flies for Starwood Hotels, and I have a friend who flies for Valiant Pharmaceuticals. One flies the G200, the other one flies the G550. It just seems like a lot more fun to me. That's what aviation is to me. It's not about flying airplanes. It's about a community of people who get together and share their experiences and time, and even maybe a free airplane ride every once in a while.
So if you're flying in the Northeast and happen to find yourself at Morristown, stop in at American Flyers and ask for Dave. But you better grab a cup of coffee. He just doesn't want to stop talking about flying, as well as his new life as a flight instructor. Personally, I think the industry needs a few hundred more like Dave Pavone.
I really do love flying, and I don't think there's anything more exciting in the world than to go share or teach someone else something. I am very passionate, very extremely passionate. You know, some of my friends just don't, you know, some of my friends do get it, and some of my friends just don't understand, you know, what it's like. I mean, you know, two bicycle makers in 1903 decided that they're going to try to build an airplane, and, you know, they spent 12 seconds in the air with no instruments. And here my students are sitting next to me complaining that they can't use the GPS. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
If telling these stories doesn't make Dave Pavone an airplane geek, boy, I don't know what else could. For the Airplane Geeks, I'm Rob Mark in Chicago.